welcome to another episode of Honest to a Malt with myself, Duncan, this week, Too Tipsy, Mike, aka Whiskey Wings, and this week we've got a special guest. He is the Welsh wizard when it comes to whiskey. He knows more about Welsh whiskey than anybody else, it seems.
Including me.
He's a big fan of Penderyn, and he is the Welsh Bruce Lee. So thank you for coming on, Sean Williams, not Walliams, to be clear. Apparently I've learned in the preamble to this that there is no one in the world called Walliams other than David Walliams. So that's that's something that 5 million people in Wales and no one else is
there
called
Walliams. There might be someone with dyslexia called Walliams somewhere in Wales. We can't rule it out, but it's unlikely.
So David, he's got a lot to blame it for there, isn't he? But Sean, thank you so much for coming on. Much appreciated.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit for guests? Also, we should say, Sean has his own podcast, Whisgy Wales, which is W-H-I-S-G-I, Wales.
The Welsh spelling.
Yeah, the Welsh spelling. No H. Okay. So Sean's got his own podcast. You can also listen to that, which is about Welsh whisky in particular. Sean works very hard, so he's taking a hiatus currently on his pod. Another episode in the autumn. You can catch up on all three series to date, I think, right? Am I correct?
Yeah. You are correct. Yeah. This is my only hobby, boys, in fairness. So, yeah. No, thanks for having me on. Long time listener, first time caller.
Love it.
As you're, you know, probably
Gary.
Aware.
Once Gary started, need to shut that down before it gets out of control.
I like that.
Yeah. No, but seriously though, there's a couple of things going on with you currently. So one, you're organising the first proper Welsh whisky festival. Talk about the festival, talk about your kind of involvement in Welsh whisky.
Yeah, just a little good. Bit. Yeah. So Sean Williams, obviously, and I am
not Walliams,
not
just Walliams,
to be clear. And I suppose I call myself a Welsh whisky advocate. Not whisk advocate, as I dyslexically spelt on my LinkedIn for about 3 weeks, which was very embarrassing.
Did you?
I did, yeah. I am slightly dyslexic. If anyone has seen my posts, they will realise that.
Did you get any advancements or contacts from whisk companies looking for experts in a new design?
I really didn't, and I thought I could branch off into kitchenware as well. So it was very disappointed. But anyway,
you could have entered the meringue world.
I could have. But I am, I am a Welsh whisky advocate. I'm in the middle of writing a Welsh whisky book kind of a long time in the making, which is going to be a kind of coffee table book. I also have the podcast, as you said, which is the Whisky Wales podcast, which is with a H, just to confuse things. In Wales, there's two spellings of whisky, one with a H in North Wales and one without the H in South Wales. But then there's whisky with an E and whisky with a Y and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's Whisky Wales is my podcast, all things Welsh whisky. And as you said, I am taking a hiatus because I don't record continually like you guys. I have not got the time to do a weekly pod. I wish I did.
You focus on quality.
I hate to say it, but I, you know, all this drivel that people put out every week, I'm more of like fine tune it, visit people, you know, really hone my craft. But no, no, props to you guys. The other thing as well, if I did a weekly podcast, I would have been over in probably about half a year, and that would have been it would have been done. So I'm trying to drag it out as long as I can. But
Welsh whisky done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That would have been the name of the podcast, basically. So that's the other thing.
Could have just done it as a mini series.
Yeah, I could have.
So what you're doing is, you by taking this break, are you hoping like more distilleries are going to pop up in Wales by the time you come back?
Well, that is the theory. But I've
or
got
new bottles. You ring around and say, "I need some more content, boys. Put another whiskey out."
I've got 5 of the next 10 episodes lined up with new whiskey distilleries and with kind of whiskey related stuff.
Oh, that's good.
I've also got a special which I'll be announcing next week, which is when this pod comes out. So I'll plug it now. There's a very good friend of mine, Rob from Whiskey Ventures, who is cycling the length of Wales with all of the whiskey distilleries and all of the air ambulance bases for charity. He did the same thing in Scotland, so this is easy for him because he did every single whiskey distillery in Scotland, which obviously is a lot more of them. So fit guy, much fitter than me. He did invite me to cycle a bike next to him, and I told him I couldn't think of anything worse to do, to be honest. So I avoided that. But he's gonna have a special 1-hour episode that will air after the ride, which at the end of May, and we're going to record some bits live with him as he does the ride. We're going to record an episode in Penderyn and do like a whole thing. So that's the podcast. And then the other thing is the festival. So I am the founder of the first ever Welsh whiskey festival, or I should say the first ever whiskey festival in Wales, because it's not a Welsh whiskey festival like, say, the English whiskey festival. Mm-hmm. It is a whiskey festival. And it just happens to be in Wales, basically. So first and foremost, I want it to be a great whiskey festival. That
right, so it's whiskey from everywhere, but it'll include Welsh whiskey.
Exactly, yeah. So something like Kendal or like, you know, Croydon that's got a...
Big
like,
shoes, Kendal. Yeah, we're tossing Kendal out there.
I'm throwing it out there. I am throwing it out there.
You're shooting for the stars.
It's going under, Phil. You're having it.
Something along those lines, I would say, that is well
David Brody known. Better be there if you're chucking out. If you're chucking out, Ken. He has to get mentioned on every single pod. By the way, I've written the tune now for Blind Jake McScroggins Blues.
Oh, I can't. So, I'm genuine. You texted me earlier about this, and I was
it's
like,
"It's coming soon."
Is it on Bandlab?
I messaged David Brody. So David Brody is probably the most famous person in whiskey, it seems. Anyway, David Bunahavin. Legend, and he has said that he might well contribute on the song, so we might actually have David on the song himself.
That would be decent.
I love the jingles, guys. I mean, I'm tone deaf, so I'm no judge of music, but I do.
Well, then that's why you love the jingles.
Exactly.
You're gonna love the one at the end of this week.
so nice to give us a run through there. I think Mike in particular is very excited about this whiskey festival based in Wales.
Mm. Yeah, so we've been lucky. So it's something that my partner Charlotte, who's involved with the other festival, and that's kind of her thing, which I'll talk about in a bit now. But the whiskey festival, her idea, as all my good ideas, they're normally my partner Charlotte's, and I tell people that 100%. So she has all the good ideas, and then I kind of run with them and see where they go. So the whiskey festival,
you're the face.
I'm the face, basically. Yeah. Which is really ironic if you look at us both. But there we are.
Didn't think that one through.
No, I didn't. I didn't at all. So, Whisky Festival, World Whisky Fest 2024, which is in Llandudno or Llandudno, depending on how you want to say it, in North Wales on the Conwy coast, and in a very lovely big Victorian hotel called the St. George's. And they're effectively, I think it was their old kind of parquet floor, ornate plaster ceiling, you know, lovely premise for a whisky festival. Great vibes, and that's what I wanted. This year we're sponsored by three people, which is Penderyn themselves, Aberfalls, and Lark Fire, the whiskey water company. So Friday night's an exclusive dinner, 100-person dinner, which is a Penderyn paired four-course meal, which kind of opens the festival weekend. Yeah. Saturday is the main thing, two sessions. 25 plus exhibitors. I say 25 plus because we've got a company called Mangrove, which I don't know if you guys know of, which do a lot of international brands putting in a world whiskey area. So we've got like loads of Japanese, bourbon, Indian, Morris from Australia, loads of weird and wonderful stuff in the world whiskey area. And then the other are basically an even split between Welsh, English, Irish, and Scotch.
Tamdu? Question mark.
So we haven't. I did try and get Tamdu.
Even if you did, they wouldn't bring the 18 anyway, and I'd just be furious. Yeah. So
just Google. I want it. Wales Whiskey Fest or Wales Whiskey Festival. We are all over Google because we're the only thing that's whiskey in Wales. That's that kind of thing. WalesWhiskeyFest.co.uk, and you'll see everything. And then on Sunday there are special distillery sessions. So Penderyn are doing stuff. Aberfalls doing stuff. And because they're sponsoring us, we have free tours for the Llandudno, Penderyn, and the Aberfalls distillery all festival weekend. So anyone who buys any ticket to the festival gets a free tour to both.
And how close is the venue to the distilleries?
You can walk to the Llandudno Penderyn one.
That's good. 100%. Okay, so that's good. That's positive, right?
10-minute walk. The Aberfalls one is 10 minutes in the car.
Okay, so it's doable then. If you're there, you can
go and
see it.
It's not. That's the whole point of it, you know. It's in a location.
It's worth pointing out because you never know. You know. Do you know what I mean? You know when you get something and then you can't really redeem it. You're like, what was the point?
Yeah, no, you can redeem it. And I am actively encouraging people to redeem it.
Excellent.
That'd
be good footfall for the distilleries as well. Good
exactly,
shout.
Exactly. And they're doing like single cask tastings and stuff on the Sunday. Yeah. So, you know, it is a proper weekend of events.
Single and then cask.
If they haven't got that port with there, I'm going to be fuming a single cask. So start pulling some strings. Yeah, let's make sure that happens. And we've mentioned an Irish whiskey on the pod.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, well,
we don't mention that enough. Apparently,
that's it. That's for you, Adam. That was for you. Thanks for listening.
I love Irish whiskey personally. I do. We'll go into this in Puddin' Island.
Alan, even,
actually,
right?
Because it is an Irish whiskey. Yeah. Spoiler alert. But so it should be a good weekend. Larkfire are doing a complimentary highball bar with Penderyn and Aberfalls as well. So as well as the drams, you also can have as many highballs as you want. And we've done it in a different way. So I've got some stick from this, I'm aware, online, and then other people have completely got it. So we are
doing unlimited. Some people are clever and got it. Some people, two fingers.
I would never say that. All I would say is some people are on Twitter and some people aren't. And all right. You guess where the negative feedback comes from. So I'm not on Twitter, by the way. So
are you not?
You can feel free to troll me on Twitter because I'll never see it anyway. Mike might tell me about it, but I don't
think you grass, Mike.
So,
always grassing people up. Snitches, snitches get stitches.
So
snitches get money. Snitches get unlimited highballs at a bar run by Larkfire. Go on.
So it's unlimited tasting. So we've all, I'm sure, or if we haven't, we've been to tasters, we've been to whiskey festivals. You know, the tasters are kind of 10 mil tasters to get an idea of what it tastes like. The problem with a whiskey festival, I think, with a lot of people is they are on a mission over those 4 hours to try and get as many tasters as they possibly can.
Of course.
And what I wanted to do is go, do you know what? You don't have to if you don't want to. You can. You are 100%. You can nail it around everyone and they will, you know, they will do it for you. But why not take advantage of the other thing that you get in your ticket, which is 5 full drams. So I'm not talking a 10 mil taster. I'm talking a proper measure, single measure of whatever you want. That you can get 30 mil of whatever you want. And you can, you know, go around the people you want to try. And then if you find something you really like, you can just get a full measure, go in the like chill out lounge area that we've got, which is where the coffee guys are, and a bit of music intermittently, and enjoy it and talk to friends. And kind of enjoy the experience rather than just having 4 hours as a full-on, like, I'm going to get as wasted as possible sort of thing. So that's the idea. So you've got unlimited tastings, 5 drams that you have full and unlimited highball.
I mean, if you've got some chairs in a place where people want to sit down, that's already...
Well, I listen, boys. Boys, I listen. Last year, I was like,
We did do a critique. We did a whiskey festival critique,
yes.
Yeah.
And you said chairs. So I have got a dedicated whiskey snug lounge area just for people to go in. And coffee is right next to it. So if you're feeling worse for wear, you can get a nice flat white, a nice cappuccino, all included in the price of your ticket as well. Because
have you sorted any local sausage rolls for the guys?
No sausage rolls. We're classy, Mike. We've got charcuterie boards and fine Welsh cheeses and cupcakes as well. If all
ham and cheese. Don't worry, Mike, we'll take around sausage rolls with us. It'll be all right.
but there's plenty of quality bakeries in Llandudno you can go. But the joys of it being in a hotel is, of course, the hotel, restaurant and bar are open as well.
Yeah.
So you can literally, I know not everyone, but I know people that have booked both sessions and in full knowledge that we're closed sort of halfway through for like a break for the exhibitors. But they're just going to go and have a meal and then they're going to come back to it for 4 hours again, you know. So,
a lot of people just go to these things to chat and have a couple of drams and a couple of beers. Job done.
That was, thanks for sharing that. That was quite the intro.
It was good.
That was a ramble.
Mike, what's the name of the episode today?
So we
are
episode 54 and the title is Enter the Welsh Dragon.
Welsh Dragon. As our guest, what's been in your glass and what's been up your ass?
So, everyone's going to expect me to say Welsh whiskey, but it's not actually. Today, I am doing a Somerton bottle, which is Sleaze, I think. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong, which is Bavarian whiskey, which is fantastic. It's in a Amontillado cask instead of like a Pedro Jimenez or something. So it's something different. It's typical kind of sherry bomb whiskey, but it's very nice. And over the weekend, I cracked open a bottle of Mexican whiskey, of all things.
What?
Which is one of the people that come into the festival. And it's called...
That's interesting, isn't it?
What's it called? Abasolo? Abasolo. Abasolo. Yeah, and it's really good. It's like kind of buttery popcorn, basically, because it's a corn whiskey.
Right.
And I opened it ready for a tasting for the whiskey, because I'm doing like promo for the whiskey festival and doing tastings and stuff like that. I'd see what it was like, and it's really good. And if you like your kind of bourbon and your whiskey, I think it's a good sort of something in between, something different, something people haven't tried. Yeah, so that's good. And then Morris from Australia, I tried.
What's that like?
Amazing. I actually really, that's up there.
It's getting a lot of the young Australian whiskey is getting really lauded, isn't it?
Like, honestly.
Is it like Lineburger, Morris, Starwood?
It's the first Australian whiskey I've tried. It's in their own fortified wine barrels that they've been doing since like the late 1800s. It is fantastic. There's three brands that I absolutely love that are doing new whiskey at the minute, and I'm really chuffed that they're at the Whiskey Festival. So one is the guys that you like, the fantastic Glasgow Distillery. The other is Morris. And then the other, I don't know if you've heard of it, is an English whiskey called the Cheshire, which they're fantastic. Those three, I think, are doing the best things at the minute with new whiskey, with non-aged statement whiskey, just because of what they're doing to the wood and stuff. I think amazing.
Nice.
So that's been in my glass. Up my ass has been my neighbours, which I was going to say some expletives then.
You said the up the ass there with it was. We can snip that out. And we can use that.
That was aggressive, full, good tone.
Up my ass.
It has been up my ass this week. my neighbours, and the next door neighbours, fantastic. We love them to bits. They're great. The ones that they gardened back onto my cottage, they decided to have party at 11 o'clock at night last night, night before, until 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's right next to my bedroom window. So, and I asked them politely to maybe turn the music off as it was dance music blasting at 11 o'clock. They did after a few expletives and maybe a few expletives from me, but yes, it wasn't the most tranquil of bank holiday weekends.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible when you argue with your neighbours. I haven't done it in ages. It's horrible.
It'd be a shame if something was to accidentally pierce that hot tub. I'm assuming it's not a fixed
trust me.
One.
I did think about it, and it's funny.
You were really upset. You were really upset because you weren't invited. You're in bed. You've got to listen to them.
He's just there in his speedos with a bucket of Corona. Like, come on, any minute they're going to knock that door and I'm in.
He's got a dressing gown on. He's ready to go. Speedos
I don't know
on,
if I should admit this, but
he's in his room and he's going, just invite
the
me.
The irony
just
is,
invite if you don't
I
invite
have
me.
My own blow-up hot tub as well. We haven't actually bothered getting it out this year. So it wasn't jealousy. It was just the fact that it was fucking 11 o'clock at night.
I would have loved... They go 11 to 1, you've had a bit of an argument, dance music goes on, they all go to bed, they're trying to sleep. 3 a.m, you're out there in your blow-up hot tub.
I'd have been there.
There were a lot of things I thought
5 a.m. in the morning, classic
pumping
FM.
Pumping out the trad country music, Beyonce, Dolly Parton, Beyonce, 9 to 5.
Stuart Dick in the hot tub party.
I went to some dark places, shall we say, on Saturday night when I was contemplating the best response for it.
But I
luckily did not do it.
Just let it go. No, they just think about it like this. How often do they do something like that? If it's every week, if it's like once a year,
it's one of these weird things because I don't think they live there permanently. So they literally turn up after like 3 months of not seeing them and then just cause havoc.
Oh, they're English as well, basically. Holiday homers.
They're not. They're kind of, I think they're like Rill the Wirral kind of pretend. Well, plastic scousers, basically. So,
I knew I was going to get confused on this pub with you two speaking in your sort of Welsh tongues. I can just, I'm already struggling.
The
Wirral
is in England.
I feel for the listeners.
For God's sake, man. It's in England. It's by
posh Liverpool.
Posh Liverpool. It's by Birkenhead, which is not posh Liverpool. Yeah. But, anyway, that was up my ass. Anyway, so I won't.
Well, sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear people having more fun.
I know.
I'm with you. Anyone that interrupts my sleep, I'm hunting you. Like I am going. I know who you are, and I will find you.
You're going full Rambo, mate.
Irish Rambo. That was Northern Irish Rambo.
I can't imagine Liam Neeson as Rambo, to be honest. He's a bit more subtle.
The ladies would have liked Liam Neeson being in that hot tub. Let's just say that.
I'm sure they would have.
So, Mike, what about you? What's been in your glass and what's been
what's
up
been
your
in
ass?
My glass was the beautifully gifted bottle from SNWS, which I did actually bother to open and taste this time. So, look at me taking my responsibilities on somewhat. The Tawny Garibaldi. It's the Scotch and Sherry series. It's from Distillery 48, which is Balmannock. And I don't think I've tasted that before, if I'm honest.
Right.
First sip, very decent. Would have easily thought it was bourbon or American single malt. Few sips into it as well. It's maintained that sort of sweetness. There's a bit of like of a meaty note in there as well. Bit of wood spice. It is absolutely banging, and I will be buying the bottle. So I can definitely say, regardless of freebies, if we will be tasting that at some point, I'll get you a sample out because it is decent.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Thanks.
What's been at my ass? Nothing really. I have been uber chill. Oh, no, it's not, is it? My back.
Again?
Well, somewhat of a conclusion. Well, not conclusion, but next day. So MRI.
Breaking MRI, news.
MRI, they said it's going to be 10 days until you hear anything at least. 3 days later, they went, yeah, you need to go into surgery. So that's my next step. It looks like I'm going to be doing the pod from a hospital bed at some point with a drip of SMWS going into the veins. So, yeah, that's been literally at my arse. The sciatica is getting ridiculous. I sneezed today and I'm pins and needles for like 5 minutes. Honestly,
it's good. Look, it's good to hear that. Obviously, you know what it is now, but it's obviously bad that it's something fairly serious, isn't it?
Prolapse discs with a plural. That was fun.
If you want to become the new co-host of Honest or Malt, just write to me on my own personally. My address so Mike doesn't know about it. We'll just line you up in case it goes wrong. Auditions start in whenever Mike's operation.
You have to do a Welsh accent, though, if you're going to come on. Yeah, and you're not allowed to be
really,
Scottish.
Yeah.
That's
Mike,
the rules.
You haven't got a Welsh accent, just to put that out there. You have no Welsh accent whatsoever.
I don't believe he's ever been to Wales.
That's what they sound like, his part of Wales.
So I think it's just something he's made
basically
up.
Basically English that all moved there to buy up the houses and push out the local Welsh people.
Right. There we go.
I'd imagine is, you know, great
We own the mines, you lot worked in
landed gentry or
land
something.
Baron. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. Maybe there's money somewhere hidden because I haven't found it yet. Yes. So that's been literally at my arse. How about you? What's in your glass? What's been up your arse? And what haven't you been drinking?
Well, right now I've got all four whiskies poured that Sean's kindly sent to us. So we're going to get into those. Bank holiday weekend, isn't it? Has just been. So if you listen to this pod, the last weekend was bank holiday weekend. If you listen to this at a different time, you're not one of the people that listens to it immediately comes out, then it was a bank holiday weekend.
You went
weekend.
To a hot tub,
you know,
party up in North Wales,
three,
didn't you?
Yeah, I was. And some prick neighbour kept shouting at us. What we're trying to do is listen to dance music. Unbelievable. Guys in Speedos. Weirdo. So anyway, we had. I was getting into some of the whiskey in the cupboard with a few friends. I went down the pub to watch some of the football and then suddenly a few pints of Guinness. And then some of the lads showed an interest in whiskey.
Oh, game over.
So we went round to a mate. I just went into, what do you want to call it? Hosting mode or something? Anyway, so.
Yep, absolutely.
Went into hosting mode. So we went round to a close by neighbours and I took 25-year-old Speyside teaspoon blended malts. It's really a single malt. Don't know which one it is, but it's pretty good. I took Springbank Handful. That was dangerous. That could have got hammered. Didn't. And I took the new SLYRS from Somerton Club as well. Then after that, we headed back and we got on the cigars.
To Casa del Donuts.
And I completely destroyed with a friend Redbreast Tawny Port. It's gone. What a sad day. And it went really well with cigars. Kisei Dorsey 50s.
But you mulled it and enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's good. I think actually, honestly, there's like 2 30-mil samples left, which have been poured out. The rest of the bottle's done. And
I mean,
it was a joy.
If there was ever going to be a slogan from Middleton, it's get it done and enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what's really interesting is that they pulled apart the 25, a couple of them, they pulled apart the 25-year-old. They're like, it doesn't feel that complex for a 25-year-old. And they're right, it isn't. But it was only 80 quid or whatever. It's just, you know, quite sherry forwards, about 45%-ish. They like the SLYRS. And my favourite bit from it was one guy, his local publican here. everything he gave him, didn't matter what it was, he said he got TCP in it. Loved it.
Shut up.
He's like, TCP. I'm like, what is going on?
Give him some Laphroaig, and he's like, ooh, that's delicate.
Yeah, flowers. Yeah. So anyway, but they enjoyed the whiskey. We had a good laugh. So that's us being in the glass. Also, shout out to Cliff. I tried a 22-year-old ex-Burbs Glengarant from him. Very good. I've probably tried some other stuff in the week. Can't remember. The new Somerton whiskey, SLYRS, is very good. That 7-year-old Amontillado.
Yep.
Half the bottle's gone now, and quite a few other people have tried it. I also gave it to Maria's dad earlier. He said it was lovely. Step Ooh. Up. He said that is tough. Lovely, that is. And I'll expand on it a bit further, because we're always giving a shout out to Dan at Somerton Club. It's first fill Amontillado, I think. 7 years, and you're going to get things like almonds, maybe apricots, maybe some orange, can be a little herby tobacco. That's the kind of stuff you should be getting from that cask. You definitely get almonds, and it's a little fruity. It's decent. It's refreshing to have a different cask, like an Amontillado like that, rather than an Oloroso or a PX or even a Paolo, which you seem to get more of these days.
Did it make up for the milk and honey chicken coop edition?
The raw chicken note on the milk and honey. We're never going to let that go, Dan. We're never going to let it go. But every other release I've had since then was very good. I still think my favourite one of recent times is that Adnams.
It was good.
It's top banana.
I thought it was good. I thought that was good whiskey.
Yeah, really good. And what's been up my arse? You take your pick from wisdom teeth moving around giving me severe tooth pain.
Oh, no.
To being stupid enough to allow myself to get hungover, fully knowing that my daughter would get up and then I'd have to go into cutting up strawberries and morning routines and all that kind of stuff. Cursing myself this morning.
Convince you to go for a run as well? as I laid on the floor.
Yeah, so I messaged Mike for a bit of support and he's like, go for a run. Run it out, sweat it out. So I did in the rain today. So that's positive, isn't it? Got up, went for a run.
Yeah.
That was decent. So I've had a good week for whiskey, really, to be honest. I probably had a couple of things the night before, last night. Can't remember. But I will say this, Sean. I had a lovely night's sleep. No hot tub neighbours getting on my nerves. It's very serene here in London.
Apart from the gunshots.
But if you live in,
No, they stop people in London. It's much quieter.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah.
Well, that's what they say in the news, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, so, that's what's been in my glass. That's what's been up my arse this week. I think Sean has kindly come on. He's sent us 4 whiskies. And so I think what we want to do today is get a bit of a feel for some of the Welsh whiskey. But before we do that, I think we should go into Pudding Island Drams for you. So we did say to Sean before we weren't going to allow him to do Pudding Island Drams, and he kicked off. And I'm now...
want to be shouted at in Speedos, basically.
I don't want to be shouted at in Speedos, yeah. So
how do you know I wear Speedos? I might not wear anything if I go in a hot tub.
But sure.
Apart from flip-flops, obviously. You know, we've got our flip-flops.
Yeah, we're not heathens.
So for listeners who listen regularly, they'll know that Pudding Island Drams is you are going to a deserted island or an island somewhere on your own for 30 days, and you get one whiskey, you get one album, and you get one pudding. Some places will say dessert to choose.
Or afters.
Or afters. And then who's going to pick you up after 30 days? So where would you like to start today, Sean, with your Pudding Island Drams?
So I listened to the two before the last podcast, and why you'd want to go to a cold island, I'm not quite sure. But I do live in North Wales and it is cold. And I have a log burner in my living room going in bloody May. So that kind of thought does not really appeal to me, to be honest.
I think it's nice that people have different things.
It is. I get it. But no, it'd have to be somewhere warm, you know, the Maldives, like French Polynesia, the proper tropical... Nice. Desert island where
you want the full on.
I want like Robinson Crusoe, you know, Castaway.
You want like Lost. Yeah, it, that
the whole.
Stuff,
well, right? I don't want Lost, but yeah, I want the proper. I want basically. I quite like swimming in the sea, and I do a bit of wild swimming stuff. So
this guy is obsessed with trying to lead the conversation towards Speedos.
I wear a wetsuit. It's Wales, mate. I wear a wetsuit, but I'd like to go somewhere where I don't have to wear a wetsuit.
That's why you didn't get an invite to the hot tub party.
Exactly. You don't. If you think about it, if you were really stuck on money and you couldn't afford to pay for your heat or whatever, You should just wear a wetsuit in home.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like a 5mm wetsuit. It's like you can't move in it, so it would keep me incredibly warm.
Why are the government not advocating for that? They should be handing out wetsuits.
That's something for you.
No more heat pumps.
Rishi Sunak,
no more heat pumps. No more electric things. Just wear a wetsuit at home.
Forget the commoners. They can't afford their electric, so wear a wetsuit instead. You heard it here from a slightly middle-class English person. But
I feel like we might have solved a major problem there.
Desert island, tropical, somewhere. I'd actually love to spearfish as well, like spear gun fish. I'd love the whole bit of that. I'd be into that. So that would be me for the island. Pudding, lemon meringue pie, but very important, pie, not tart. So, you know, nice, thick, like, marshmallowy. No, but like, not like French patisserie, like small, like a proper slab of, like when you were a kid, you have that like marshmallow kind of spread stuff, you know, like basically it tastes like that, but with a blowtorch on the top of it, you know, sharp lemon, the whole bit.
I get that so much in whiskey as well. It's one of those like childhood 100% notes.
Sugar, lemon, you know, like buttery pastry, I think, and probably because it goes with whiskey as well, so... and then whiskey, I will go for an Irish whiskey, I think. I'm not going to go for
gonna
Welsh whiskey.
So Alan's going to be happy.
I'm talking about Irish whiskey on a Welsh whiskey.
He's going to think we fixed this.
He probably is. No, but I've always said this to people who are new to whiskey. Scotch, I love scotch, but you have got to know what you're buying when it comes to scotch, whereas Irish whiskey is pretty much bomb-proof.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're talking like the bottom shelf stuff, you know, you're normally going to get something good.
Irish whiskey is bomb-proof. That's the worst constructed sentences.
Yeah, probably. Southern Irish, not Northern Irish whiskey, but I love Bushmills as well, so I shouldn't say that. But anyway.
Would you nail yourself to a fence for it then? That's been Bushmills this week. Sorry.
Go on.
Irish whiskey, I'd probably go Writer's Tears. I don't know if you guys have tried Writer's Tears.
I think that's a lovely choice, but you do know you can pick
anything. But
we've had recently people coming on. It's like it's not your own money.
I know. But
I don't,
if I've got to drink one whiskey for 30 days, I don't want to drink something that I'm going to go, oh, that's very complex and I need to sit there and sniff it. I just want something I can drink for 30 days.
Yeah.
And you think of... Yeah. You know, I've had some weird stuff over the years. I was in the pot still a few months ago in Glasgow, and I had a Tasmanian whiskey that tasted like barbecue sauce with sriracha. I mean, it was great, but I don't want that complexity. I don't want that for 30 days at the end of the day. So something like Writer's Tears, they do a frozen wine, which is a Canadian frozen wine cask.
Yes, ice
that's
wine.
Very good. Yeah, ice
that's
wine.
The
yeah.
Wayne Gretzky, same thing, ice wine.
Exactly.
Same thing as the ice wine.
So, and it's, you know, it's very reasonable, but I don't care because I'm not paying for it, obviously, as I'm on, you know, Pudding Island. But I think for 30 days. Yeah, all inclusive.
Yeah, it's all in.
But I think, if I got to drink one whiskey, I want something kind of non-challenging
good
for 30 days.
I love Writer's Tears. So. It's so approachable. I remember M&S used to stock it. And then when they they stopped selling it for a while. And I really regret not buying loads because they reduced it to literally nothing. They were giving it away. And I was like, I'll pick up one, two, leave some for other people. Silly, silly move. I should have snuffled it all away. But I think that's a solid choice.
That ice wine cask expression, you can't get in the UK. Mm. It's just, there's no one in the UK that sells
it. It's pure
it
export.
You can only buy it in euros and then obviously the whole kind of import and all that kind of stuff. So,
nice.
Yeah. And then music. I mean, me and Mike spoke slightly about my eccentric music thoughts. But, I mean, it's very close between two, bands that mean so much to me. And that is Steps and S Club 7.
Nice.
I mean, 100% I would...
I don't know if you're being serious now.
I think Steps would win, but I think, you know...
Which
they're
album?
Great. I don't know. I'd have to have like a greatest hits, I think, to kind of like last the 30 days.
Steps' greatest hits.
I think so, yeah.
Just absolutely amazing.
Wow. What's your favourite Steps song then?
I try to keep that up for as long as I could, but I really
can't. we spoke about this before.
We'll leave it.
I was like, I just want to get Duncan's face. on video.
We'll edit out the next bit and we'll just leave that in
for
you, Sean.
No, you can. I don't really care. Yeah, you can.
Steps have maybe... I'm not even sure Steps have one.
I don't know.
That's a tragedy to say that.
Very good.
Honestly, I'm not sure on the music. The music was the hardest thing. I think all the others, I was like, yeah, I do that. Music, I have really got eclectic taste. I like a bit of everything. I like a lot of kind of modern country music at the minute, like Noah Kahan and like the Bonnevilles.
Why don't you reframe it then? I think, who was the guest? I think it was Paul Hawksby when he came on and he said, the way to look at it is... find an album which is flawless, it doesn't have a bad track on it.
I think so. And I hate when people say a Spotify playlist, because I think that's jipping the question as well, because like you can put everything on a Spotify playlist. So I think of all the albums I've listened to for, you know, 35, 40 years, there's been a band, and not everyone knows them, but it's a band called London Grammar, and they're kind of like a bit niche, but they're... The vocalist is a female vocalist, absolutely amazing. It's kind of a bit dancey, some of the tracks, like a bit melancholy. I would be...
good for the sunshine.
Yeah, I would be worried that I'd be manically depressed after 30 days listening to London Grammar. But honestly, their first album, the first album or the Metal and Dust album, that's what I would go with. Because it is all good songs. There's not a single bad song on it. And I love the band. And I have done for like over a decade, I think, it's been now, since they've been out. So,
right. So you're going to be in a sunny tropical island. We've lots of, you know, interesting fish surrounding you. It's lemon meringue pie.
100%,
right? Right as tears. Mm-hmm. I did like an ice wine cask one or something like that.
Something different, yeah, I think so.
Something different. And then London Grammar to listen to.
Yeah, I think so.
So who's going to pick you up at the end of your 30 days?
I think if I'm on my own, it's got to be my partner, Charlotte, because it's got to be, though.
Anyone in the world.
I know you say this, but honestly, I'm actually one of these people that like their partner that they live with, so I would happily pick me up. No comments on Pleasant Company.
I 100% do, but I would still pick somebody
I know
else.
Some people are like glad of 30 days away from their partner. So I would put the caveat that if she was with me and I could have anyone pick us up, then I would probably...
This is
dead or alive as well, isn't it? Because you've had this before. So I would have the same thing I said to the Whiskey Sisters when they had their question about who would you like to share a dram with. And I would have Richard Burton pick me up. In a speedboat looking very dashing and kind of chic, you know. So,
but you can't have that because you're a cop out. So,
yeah, exactly. So I'd have my partner.
You've gone with your wife, so you don't get Richard Burton.
Yeah, exactly. She's not my wife, but yeah, I would. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the wife I got divorced
lady friend.
From.
lady friend.
Definitely don't want her picking you up.
No, I don't want my ex-wife picking me up. It would never come. The boat would never come, basically.
look at us heaping pressure on Sean there, already talking about the future.
Albums without a bad song. This week I was going through some old playlists. The Strokes, Is This It? Album.
I do like Strokes. Yeah.
You know what? You know how much I flick through songs? I listen to that twice in a row. That is big for me.
Well done. This is a step forward for you. Yeah. It's like therapy or something.
A little slightly curing the ADHD a little bit.
What was the...
your attention spans increased.
What was the Steps dig, by the way? I have to... It was Mike's suggestion, but I thought I'd go with it.
I just wanted to see Duncan's face chose Steps, because he's quite, like, musically based.
Let me explain it to you. So my initial reaction was, he's making that up. And then I thought, they are Welsh. Maybe. So...
Maybe.
There's all kinds of strange folk in Wales. Yeah, I thought, just go with it. You know what they're like.
I could have chose the phonics. I mean, I could have got like Stereophonics. I'm Welsh and everything. Local Boy in a Photograph, you know, that first album. It's like,
so good.
I mean,
I'm
a bit disappointed you didn't choose Manic Street Preachers.
I got into them later in life. So I wasn't interested when they were actually popular or like decent.
I love Manic Street Preachers.
Manics are good.
When they went to Cuba, I sort of, that whole period I really liked, and then got back into the old tracks. Just some bangers there. Even the ones now before they were popular.
They did one of the the best sets at Glastonbury twice, I would say. Like the first one they did in sort of early 2000s or whatever, just Dean just absolutely smashed that crowd and the whole stage, and it was just epic.
They sound better live.
Unbelievable band.
Sound better live. And that's when you know it's a good band, you know, when they sound better.
Yeah,
live.
Yeah.
Slash and Burn, man.
He's got a top voice, top guitarist. Yeah. There is some talented people in Wales, isn't there?
Yeah, so one or two, you know.
One or two.
Or 15 for the rugby. No, actually,
maybe,
not rugby.
Maybe
72.
Yeah.
Football,
no.
Yeah. Drafts.
So, one of the things we were hoping today, you could give our listeners a bit more of an insight into Welsh whiskey. There's a few distilleries in Wales, isn't there? So, which people will have heard of Penderyn, obviously, and probably maybe Aberfoyle's.
Yeah, I'd imagine. So, okay. It's in most Tesco's in the UK now. Mm. So
exactly. It is. Yeah. It's done really well in terms of being stocked.
But there's more.
How do you see each distillery? You know, how would you explain the distilleries to people, like where they are?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know what type of thing they're doing.
I'm going to dive into the Anglesey.
I was going to say, shall we go north to south, because you've got the drams, and let's go into Anglesey Mon, because no one's heard of Anglesey Mon. It's one of those, you know, under the radar. They do fantastic things, and they're just really shit at marketing. And I tell everyone that. And I tell the guy that owns it. I mean, if you come to the Whiskey Festival, you'll meet David, the guy that owns it, and I tell him you're bad at marketing, mate. You know, that is your main amazing whiskey, though. So Anglesey Mon, the only whiskey distillery on the island of Anglesey, which if you look at a map of Wales is kind of the top left-hand side, little island, basically easily accessible from mainland, two bridges that go there. It's not like some kind of, you have to get the ferry or...
I have visited
boat,
but... once. I went to Beaumaris.
Beaumaris, yeah, very nice, very nice. Good whiskey shop in Beaumaris.
I'm getting foam bananas for days.
100%, yeah. Foam bananas and vanilla, like massive vanilla. So this is non-age statement, 3 to 4 year old, exclusively in bourbon cask for the whole maturation. But what I think makes it really good is he chooses the cask by hand. He goes to the cooperage. He chooses the casks he wants. He uses water from the farm. So he's got a natural spring, which is a historic glacial lake that's now, you know, a field. But he's got a natural spring on the field. And the water, okay, if you taste the water, it's like the softest water you've ever...
So it's actually had. Diluted with that,
yes,
water.
Yes, it is, yeah. 100% okay, so you're actually know, tasting made it, with yeah. that water.
Okay, so when they're diluting it down to 40%, yeah, they'll use this yeah. water as well.
The other 60, yeah, exactly. Is that...
So it's all their water from start to finish, so maturation through to dilution. So
palate-wise, there's a really sort of weird herbal note, which I really like on that. Loads of... I get like raisin as well, vanilla... as you said, it's thin because of the ABV, but
it's super light,
immensely sippable.
I wish he'd do a cask strength version so I could actually compare, but he only does that 40% version, and that's literally it. One expression, that's all he does. I mean, he's a distillery that does loads of other alcohol, you know, rum, vodka, gins, different liqueurs, but the whiskey I think is fantastic and very underrated as well, because no one knows about it.
I'd add on to what... So overall, I really like it. You know, we're straight up about how we feel about stuff. But so overall, I really like it. What I would say is, on top of what Mike said about foam bananas and... what's the other thing you said, Mike? Or vanilla, right, you said.
Orange pith as well.
I think I
don't pick any citrus up from it, to be honest. I don't
just,
get
no,
any
no, you
citrus.
Know, the...
Oh, like the zest.
The weird white thing. The, like... it is a pith, I think it's called. I can't remember
it
how
has,
to describe it. The skin.
It has a bit of a floral note in the nose for me, and maybe also a slight cardboard note, but it's not unpleasant in the cardboard that you get.
Ah,
and then on the palate, I think...
Now you've said that, yeah.
On the palate, you get certainly kind of fruity. I'm just trying to decide what kind of fruit. Yeah, it's hard to sort of call, really, because it's 40% and sort of thin, but it feels kind of fruity and sweet on the palate, really. You know.
I mean, I really only get about two or three notes from it, to be honest. You know, I don't think it's overly complex. I don't think it's a dram that you would sit and contemplate and kind of go, oh, it's got this and it's got that. But what I do think it is a fantastically soft whiskey for non-whiskey drinkers. And it is, you know, it is a really good kind of piece for what you can do with bourbon in only 3 years, because I think everyone just goes to bourbon and there's some shit, really, isn't there? We all know it. We've all tried it. But that's what you can do good with bourbon in three
it's
years.
Good.
You
know? It's good. So now I've tried it, swirled it around my mouth a bit more. It's like, it's really green apples, maybe like red apple skin, a bit of demerara sugar and vanilla on the palate.
Yeah. 100%, yeah.
It's very drinkable.
It's very drinkable.
Yeah. It's very decent for 40% whiskey. But what
it needs to be stronger if you're a regular whiskey drinker and you drink strength stuff. But if you're not, and if you're a kind of branching off the kind of standard whiskey range, I think it's one of those ones that is like really interesting. And so the price point, obviously the boys don't know the price point, listeners at home. This is coming in at £30.
Right. So I have to think, I think if you wanted to buy someone a Welsh whiskey, so one of the things that stood out for me the other night when I was around drinking all those whiskeys with friends, right, I'd come back and raided the cupboard and I'd gone, let's get them in this, let's get them excited, was particularly the Springbank was just too strong for some of them. Some of them put water in it and dialed it right back, even down to sort of 40% level. And they were like, it's still too strong. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what to do.
The funk is too much.
I don't know what to do. Yeah, because it's about 58% and it's just too strong for them.
If people don't drink a lot of whiskey, you just can't give them, you know, anything.
Because it just overwhelms them, right?
48. Yeah, it's just too much. All they get is alcohol. They don't get any of the notes that your palate has got used to, and that's the difference.
So this is Anglesey, which is a farm, produces its own whiskey using its own ex-glaciated water source, which they use both in making the whiskey in terms of, like, you know, into the stills and stuff, right? And also when they're mixing it down to 40%, right? Anglesey. Yeah, exactly. I like that. I think that's super interesting. Decent. That's the kind of thing I buy for my mum, not tell her it's Welsh.
Yeah.
And then she's just drinking it.
And then watch her set on fire.
That's funny, actually, yeah. That's good. I'll enjoy the rest of that. Thanks so much for that, Sean. Appreciate it.
So that's kind of the furthest north of the whiskey distilleries. And then on the coast, then, we have two others. One everyone's heard of, obviously, Penderyn. Not their original whiskey distillery. So it's their North Wales whiskey distillery that's only one of their Faraday stills, which is their kind of unique column still that they do. And that is for their peated malt. So that's why they've opened the one in Llandudno. You can try all their whiskies there in Llandudno. Obviously, all the Penderyn range. Everyone, I think, that's listening to this, I don't think there's going to be many people that hasn't tried Penderyn with their success.
So that's exclusively peated up north.
So it's exclusively peated malt, which is new for them. Yeah. Their other kind of peated-esque expression has been normally a Laphroaig cask finish, not a peated malt new make. So that's the Penderyn in North Wales. And then the next one is the Aberfalls, which you're about...
got second. Yeah.
So I haven't given you standard Aberfalls because everyone can get that. I think you've tried it, Mike. Yeah. I think maybe you've tried it.
I've tried it,
well. Yeah, I think it's pretty average as standard whiskies go, but then it's like a £20 bottle of whiskey, so you know you're not expecting much. The rye is something completely different. It is not like anything they've done, even their distillery exclusives. It is very different, you know, and if you like it, you really
I don't mind. Ryes get a hard time. I don't mind a rye. Mm. I'm just going to say, especially for the Canadian listeners, one, thank you for listening in Canada, but two, we got your back on ryes. Again, they get a hard time sometimes from, especially some of the UK contingent.
I like rye whiskey.
I'm going to go straight in with this one. This is 51%. I, on the nose, get like glazed ice buns, maybe like orange oil, maybe like a hint of cinnamon or something like that. And on the palate, I'm going to say it before I forget it, Mike, right? And then it goes into kind of like the spice, right? And
It's peppery, but it's like sugary as well. So it's, I think it's like an iced cinnamon bun with like shitloads of pepper.
I definitely get, so we agree. I think that's really good with the whiskey. When you get the same close tasting notes, then it shows that it has, you know, it's obviously not that complex, but at the same time, it shows that it's got a strong profile. Yeah. At the end, I get like that tasty mouth that you get when you finished eating like ready salted Pringles.
Yeah, I like that.
MSG type, that kind of MSG type, sort of the salts,
Do you know? If you've had a Chinese and your like mouth is starting to almost tingle after you've eaten too much
That's how it is. But particularly with Pringles. 100%. Yeah.
A random nosing note, go back in, tomato skin.
Oh, wow, that's a different one. I wouldn't have thought that. Yeah.
trying to judge Duncan's face now I've suggested.
Everyone's nose in is always so different. It yeah. always amazes me.
But don't massive, you? Really good shout on the ice buns as
I don't
well.
Usually sniff tomatoes, but I'm...
Apricot and pineapple as well I put on there.
Okay,
just behind yeah. after the spice initially, like loads of apricot.
On the palate?
I would say on the tomato note, actually, you know the green vine of a tomato? You know if you buy yes. fancy tomatoes in the shop?
The 100% smell, yeah.
like fresh green yep. vine,
that,
not
that
tomato.
I can, that I can buy
like,
into,
yeah,
the vine smell.
Vine, yeah.
I can buy into the vine smell, yeah.
That is what I'm thinking... No, you've said it. That is exactly
I can
it.
When you pitch yourself at the market stall. So we're lucky here. We've got like supermarkets have market stalls all the time outside. Loads of fresh tomatoes.
Farm. They go straight to Tesco's, pay like 50p, and then go to London and sell it to Duncan for £4 a punnet.
I also think on the nose, there's ever such a slight like hint of Ribena note in there too.
Oh,
really
wow.
weirdly,
okay.
yeah, like.
Cheeky Vimto kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
vibe.
So that's actually, yeah. think about that. You've got ice buns, you've got vines of tomatoes, you've got
complex.
Cinnamon.
Yeah,
yeah, it's actually pretty good. Yeah. And then on the palate, yeah. it's just kind of like vanilla, sweet, spicy, maybe a hint of pepper, like you said. And it goes through and you get that kind of MSG taste. I really like this one. This, I would enjoy. This would be Tumblr for me.
This would be mega to give someone in a blind. This would trick some people in a blind.
Wouldn't it?
You would never know it's Arbor Falls. Even if you've had every Arbor Falls that they've ever produced, you would never know this whiskey's Arbor Falls. Yeah. And I think it's amazing. I mean, it's the second bottle I've had off them now, and I keep telling them, make it in the core range. Make it in the core range because it's just so... So good. And yeah, don't aim it at the Tesco supermarket shelf, but yeah. make it accessible. Make it like £50, you know, that people can actually buy it.
What is the damage on this one?
Exclusive on Master of Malt. That's what it should
so
be.
So it is £65, which I still think is not too bad, but it is non-age statement. But it's...
Do you know
it's,
rough age?
I'm going to be honest. I really like it, but I don't...
It's not 65
I don't like
quid,
it 65
it?
Quid.
Yeah, I know.
It'd have
know,
to be for me...
Yeah.
£40 to £50, I think,
yeah,
right?
100%. And that's what I keep telling
them. Peak out of 50. Because this has got to be like maximum 5 years old.
I would say it's probably 4 years old, personally.
£10 a year. £10 a year.
£40, £50, I think, is where it's at. And they keep, but again, it's distillery exclusive, so you can't buy it unless you go to them, you know. And
I do
get
like
that.
It, though.
I do like it too, but based on the price, I'd say it's one that I would happily buy at a bar, right? Yeah. To have. You know,
buy a dram, but not buy the.
Well, bottle, yeah, like. Not because I don't like it, because for that,
no,
for
no,
that kind of
price,
price,
yeah,
100%,
yeah, 100%,
but it's a decent whiskey.
I think
yeah.
if the ABV was a bit higher, that would make a really good SMWS bottling.
And so, tell us a bit more about Abbot, because lots of people listening to this still won't have, including me, a clue really about Abbot Falls. Look, I've seen the whiskey in supermarkets, but tell us a bit about the distillery.
So, Abbot Falls is owned by quite a big whiskey brand. You know, they sell themselves as kind of a craft distillery, but they've got a lot of money behind them, and that's why they've grown so fast. That's why you see them in all these
Halewood artisanal spirits.
They were a Halewood, warehouse about 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago, that they were going to sell. And the story is the MD came down to North Wales. They're right on the coast. It's quite pretty where they are, like in relation to the falls itself as well, which is where they get their name from. Very pretty waterfall that's not too far from them. And he came down and he said, like, why are we selling this? This would make a great place for a distillery. Why don't we have a Welsh whiskey distillery here? And that's how they started. And they basically, you know, sunk a load of money into it. They started doing gin. And then they started doing whiskey, and now I think they've got two pot stills, kind of very Scottish kind of style stills, and they're cranking out a lot of liquid. They're on 24-hour distillation.
That's how they can smash it out with £20 in the supermarket.
Exactly. Yeah, they're cracking out the liquid. They've got a massive warehouse. Just down the road in a place called Bangor.
Bangor.
I've got a story about this.
Please tell me
it's a shithole.
No,
you don't.
No. I know that.
But, yeah.
I can't believe that the marketing isn't bangers from Bangor.
No, you don't want to be associated with coming from Bangor as a Welsh product. So Arbor Falls,
we don't know that
you know,
in England.
Yeah, right. I know you don't. I know
when
you
I
don't,
was best man for my mate at his wedding, that was the punchline to one of my jokes. I was like, I think you're taking the bride straight away on a holiday. And he's going, no. And everyone's sort of quiet. I went, I swear you told me you were going to go and bang her straight after this.
Oh.
And everyone's like,
Whoa. Oh, that's terrible.
It's great. Loving it.
That's like a dad joke.
Oh, yeah.
Worse. That's a granddad joke. That's
what
that is.
Imagine how bad. Well, you listen to the pod, but imagine how bad Mike Stokes on now.
I know how bad. I listen to the pod. Yeah.
Hang on. You listen to the pod, it's like pushing a pain on you. You're like, you're digging into the wound every week.
I do. I like putting salt on it, salt on the wound. So my story of Abfalls in Bangor, which is just their warehouse, they just do maturation in their warehouse. It's in an industrial estate next to like a Topps Tiles and a Screwfix, and my day job is construction. So I go into the Screwfix in Bangor a lot. And when they first started, I went into the trade counter and I was like, bloody hell, the smell in here. I was like, it smells like a brewery. What are you guys doing? And then I had forgotten behind. And I was like, no, it's bloody Abba Falls. It smells like a whiskey distillery. And you literally, in the Screwfix, it is permeating through the wall, the smell of the wood and the smell of the whiskey maturation. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But that's my story for Abba Falls. So, yeah, North Wales... well known in North Wales, and they sell themselves as like the first North Wales distillery in 100 years. But I would say they're not necessarily. I'd say that's marketing, but they are definitely a big brand, and one that I think people will have heard of next to Penderyn.
They launched their first whiskey in that peak sort of frenzy where everyone was snapping up new inaugural releases like they were.
100%.
It didn't matter what people were putting out. And then the number of new distilleries kept increasing and increasing, and then people just got to the point and just like, this is ridiculous. But there was that period where there was only one coming out like once every couple of months or whatever across the UK generally.
Yeah,
and at that point, people were like, right, I have to have this. Not just the, obviously Scotland, England and Wales, right?
Yeah.
Ireland too, really, think about it. But and then the pace just got up to so much. But they were right at that peak frenzy point where people were fighting to get these inaugural releases like they were like, you know,
climbing up Welsh mountains to get
gonna be like Aberfalls. You know, every bottle somehow was then gonna be a grand or whatever.
They have ridden the boom of whiskey. 100%. They have planned to whether they planned it or it's fluke, they have come at the right time for the boom of whiskey. But if they did more expressions like this rather than their standard one, I think they would have more.
But they are in Tesco's, right? Which in itself is an achievement for such a young brand.
Yeah, 100%. But then you look at what they've got behind them with the likes of Halewood and the brands, and anyone just Googles Halewood at home.
That yellow sticker's on at £20, people are flocking to it.
And you've said this on the pod before. You can buy it, you can mix it, and you can leave half a bottle for someone else, and you don't care because of the price. And you need that. You need a brand like Bell's, like Jameson's, easily accessible to everyone. Yeah.
If you think about the representation, Wales is actually doing really well in a supermarket in England. Think about how many Scottish distilleries. There's 150-ish Scottish distilleries, right? Yeah. Doing single malt, right? And then you've got five-ish distilleries in Wales, is that right?
Seven. I would say three that could get into supermarket shelves.
Think about it like this, guys. England, 55. Yet when I go to a Tesco's or Sainsbury's, I see Penderyn and Abba Falls, Tesco's, on the shelves. That's disproportionate number of whiskey distilleries as a ratio. Scotland could easily have 30 in there and England could have 20 and no Welsh whiskey. Yeah. But that's not the case. So actually being really well represented for the average supermarket.
I mean, they're good at business, aren't they? That's the thing, and that's what gets you. It's crafty, not necessarily Welsh people. Good at whiskey, it's good at business, and I would 100% say that what we see on the shelves is people are good at business.
So we're on an upward trajectory with the drams,
and I'm genuinely fascinated by this one that I've got in my hand.
So we go to sort of South Wales next for the drams. But there are distilleries in West Wales that we will talk about afterwards, that one of them obviously you're going to try as well. So South Wales is known for Penderyn. They started in the Brecon Beacons, their first ever Welsh distillery for 100 years. And, you know, and they started back in the 90s. And I remember them starting, so I didn't live too far away from them at the time. Anyone who's actually from Wales can tell it's a South Wales voice, not a North Wales voice. So
that's correct.
And they flew the flag. Everyone thought it was a joke, basically. Everyone thought it was something that you buy in a tap shop to take home with you with a bloody daffodil and a leek badge or something, you know? Yeah. But they have proved themselves to be a proper whiskey brand that is world, renowned, and that is in something stupid like 150 countries. You know, you can buy it everywhere.
French it's got a love it.
Yeah, the French love it. They've got their own brand rep in France, in Asia, in Germany. You know, they are an international, you know, powerhouse of whiskey. And like you said, Duncan, you know, you can see it in every, you know, kind of supermarket in the UK, which is fair play.
Sean, I'm finding it fascinating, but I'm being honest, I'm struggling to concentrate because the nose on this Coles, Coles organic.
So let's go. I'm really struggling to concentrate.
The one we've never heard of.
I can't get my head around the nosing notes on this one.
Yeah, so let's go to Coles. So we go from the most well-known Welsh whiskey brand to the least, I would say, well-known whiskey brand. So Coles Distillery is this very small craft distillery in sort of the border of South and West Wales near Carmarthen. They own a pub. They own a fantastic thatched roof, 400-year-old pub that they have a brewery and distillery out the back of. They make all their own stuff. They make wine, they make beer, they make loads of spirits and whiskey. And they were the second or third maybe whiskey distillery in Wales. So they're very old. They're quite an old brand.
Mike, don't say anything you're getting on the nose yet, and I won't either. Let's just get our thoughts together, and then we'll say it in close proximity so we can't smell each other.
Think about
it. I can't get past three things that I can smell.
Yeah.
And I. Sorry, Sean. I'm really building this one up for you now. I wish this one would have been on Blind Drams. This would have been super interesting to have had in Blind Drams. Mm. Continue explaining about Coles.
So Coles are very interesting characters if you've ever met them. Two brothers and all their family members that work in the distillery. They did not want a cop still. They did not want to clean a cop still. They didn't want the maintenance of a cop still. They wanted a stainless steel still. Obviously, anyone who knows anything about whiskey knows you've got to have some interaction with copper. So they put copper perforated plates in the column part of the still, basically. And it is, for all intents and purposes, it's a column still. It has a pot, but it is a column still. But the rest of it is stainless steel. And it makes a massive difference to their new make. It is really weird. It's got some unusual notes. And if you like whiskey with like a strong spirit taste, you will like it. If you like a smooth whiskey, this is maybe not for you at
Don't
all.
Don't give any tasty notes away. We're building this up.
Okay. Doug's like excited.
I'm so excited by this one.
Okay, but it is super unusual. It's very hard to get. I'd say it's even harder to get than Anglesey whiskey. It's a whiskey you can buy online. Coles, you Google Coles Distillery, you find their inventory online on their very old-fashioned website, and you can physically ring them and order a bottle, but you literally do have to do proper legwork. Yeah. Anyone who was born past about 95, I think, will not be kind of...
Which, ironically, is when their website was made, by the looks
exactly.
of it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll not be afraid. First ever Windows Explorer.
With ordering things, talking to people, you know, and giving your card details over the phone. So if you're not into that, maybe it's a bit of an awkward ask.
And what they do, Dunk, as well, they will sell you the new make and a wooden barrel so you can age it at home.
Yeah, so on that point, I would say that everyone I know that's bought one, that is the way to go, I would say, with their whiskey. Yeah. Because you can...
Homemade it.
You know, you can homemade it. You can put sherry in there. You can put rum in there. You can put whatever you want in there to make the wood taste as you want. And then because there's so much contact... Because there's so much contact with the wood to the new make, I've tried some whiskey that has been in there for about 6 months in one of those barrels with sherry, and it tastes fantastic.
So they give you... you buy the cask from them, this mini barrel cask type.
It's tiny. It's like...
How many litres is it?
Right, here we go. Barrel kit. £140. And you get a 2.8-litre freshly charred oak barrel with tap and stand.
Okay. All right. So
I mean, it looks beautiful. On your whiskey shelf, it'll look fantastic. The new make doesn't come in it. So that's the thing. The new make comes separate, so you can pre-season it with what you want. And that is the way to drink Coles. If you can afford that and you're really geeky with your whiskey and you want to mess around with it,
I'd definitely get one of these at some point.
I would 100%. That is the way to go for Coles. This... Give your tasting notes. You know,
I'm
going to
buy a load of Springbank, age it in that barrel, and then put the Coles
Mike, I feel like I'm about to explode. So can we do?
Go for it.
Go on.
Do you want me to go first, Mike, or do you want to go first?
You have to go first because you are literally gonna jizz in your pants.
It's just so surreal. It smells to me of like battered sausage you get in a fish and chip shop, and the greasy paper that comes with it, and then like dandelion and burdock. It smells like being in a chip shop.
Basically. Now you've said that, I also get that. So I've never got that from it.
That chalky,
those chocolate lime boiled sweets, salted sourdough.
Chocolate lime as well. It's bizarre. Yeah. It's honestly, I love it. It's thin on the palate still. It's thin on the palate because it's 42%. Mm. And it doesn't have a lot going on the palate. But the taste from the nose to the palate continues. It's so weird, but it's weird. I like it it's a positive weird, right?
Yeah, it's a whiskey you want to give someone to try and go.
Can I just shout this out as well? I think this is I would classify this as a dirty dram.
Yeah.
So if they did this stronger and they put peat in this, I think this could be unreal.
They have got a peated one,
and they put
out
sausage in batter on the label.
I mean, they need. I don't know what their taste note gave, but honestly, battered sausage, greasy paper, dandelion and burdock, lime chocolate sweets that Mike just said.
Amazing.
And on the palate, then you get kind of vanilla but still the greasiness goes right through to the end. I'm still getting like battered sausage and greasy paper at the end of the whiskey, right?
And that is what we're looking at, £45 for a 700ml?
Yeah, they do, I'm sure they do a 50ml bottle as well.
700, 500, and then miniatures. So there you go.
What's the price of that Coles?
So 45 for a 700. 30 for a 500 and £6.50 for a miniature.
And I would go for the 500. I wouldn't go for the full bottle. Yeah. You're not gonna drink the full bottle quickly. So just go for a 500.
I don't know.
Save yourself the money but you're not gonna finish half a bottle of that off in a night.
Put it this way, I've re-poured that.
Yeah, wow. I could drink the whole thing pretty easily. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I think also because I've had a fairly, large weekend without getting into any arguments with people in hot tubs. Because of that, I'm enjoying the sort of lower ABV whiskies this evening.
Yeah.
I'm just having a wee bit of each one. I've only had a tiny pour, a little bit delicate. Mm. But I'm already nosing the fourth, and again, it's quite wacky. So whatever you guys are smoking in Wales is working.
So this is number four is the Deville.
Spelt completely differently to that.
Spelt. D-A space M-H-I-L-E.
But so pronounced Deville.
So
Deville.
We're going to West Wales, which is either Deville, which is either the second or third. Again, depending on who you speak to, Coles or Deville, they both claim that they came after Pendennin. I think they're about the same time, to be honest, realistically. Deville is the total other end of the market. They are super craft. They do some amazing different things. Solely organic. Organic farm, organic cheese, Tybee cheese, which is fantastic cheese, which you can try at the Whiskey Festival, and an organic distillery with a single still, which is quite small. I can't remember the size, but very small batch. Every bottle of Deville, it'll be pretty much a single cask or two casks at the most, and batch numbered. They're normally no more than 200, 300 bottles per run. And each year they mix it up and they do like a Madeira or a sherry cask or something else. And it is expensive. I'm not going to lie. It's £90.
You shouldn't have told us before we tried it.
But what I would say is I think it's fantastic whiskey. Forget the non-age statement. If someone put it in front of me and said 15, to 18
I think
years
we said
old,
it last time as well.
I would say
at the high price point, good. When something's organic and it's a small company, you've got to kind of let it go a little bit.
I was going to say, when you see their setup, you're going to understand.
This is mad.
And when you think that's pretty much a single cask as well, that's the other thing I would say, is this is not a blend of 10 casks, but this will be one or two casks. That's it, maximum. And this is a Madeira one. Did I give you guys a Madeira one? Yeah. So it's Madeira cask, solely Madeira, not finishing, only in Madeira for a minimum of 5 years, probably more like 6 or 7. So go for it. I mean, West Wales, near Ceredigion.
To me, it smells of like refreshing sweets.
Yes.
It smells of flowers. It smells of it smells of sweat.
Of sweat? Oh my Okay.
Sweat.
It smells of sweat, like the worst kind of sweat.
Have you mixed up your drums by any chance?
No, no clean glasses.
Is that clean glass? Dear God. Yeah. So I got perfumed orange oil, lavender, blackcurrant, and then sherbet.
Blackcurrant, yeah. But there's also a sort of slight sweaty note to me. But
I get no sweat.
Yeah, that's a weird one. But okay. Everyone,
sure it's not you?
No, no.
I was going to say, I mean, you're not a bit sweaty.
We got exactly
bar tan coming out.
We got exactly the same. I'm getting, this is always happens, right? I'm getting attacked. I'm supposed to be a safe place.
You can share iced buns
and cinnamon for dram two, right?
Yeah.
On the nose, which is exactly what Sean said. We can't help it if you two have got inferior palates. I agree with you on the other stuff, but there's a slight note in there. I mean, look, if it was a French wine, people would be going crazy, but going, oh, sweat, dirty soil, you know. But
I don't get any of that at all.
It's the terroir. It's the dampness. In fairness, what I would say on that point is it is in dunnage storage. It is in a proper...
So maybe there's a slight funk to it then.
Men's gym, changing room, dunnage warehouse.
It is in like soil floor, you know, stone building, old barn.
Where's the location warehouse of the distillery? Like coastal and countryside?
It's kind of half and half. It's in Ceredigion, but it's inland. So it's near in the Welsh Wind. It's about half an hour away. But it's inland. It's kind of right on the Cambrian Mountains, kind of near Cardigan Bay. But yeah, it's in a sort of nowhere place, really, I suppose, but in kind of the heart of West Wales.
It's quite soft on the palate, I suppose. But I don't know if I agree with you, which is a nice way of saying I don't, about it punching above its weight in terms of age. It really, to me, feels like it feels like somewhere between 5 to kind of 8 years old. But it's soft. It's got a slight saltiness to it, maybe some like a ever such a hint of minerality, not a lot, you know. Yeah. But that makes it more interesting.
Minerality,
maybe not saltiness. Maybe it's not fair, but
no, I think it is quite. Yeah, there's a salty note in there, definitely.
I feel like there is. It kind of comes back in at the end. It's definitely interesting. I can't get past the coals. I can't. Yeah. It's just so I loved how wacky that one was. This is good. This is a well put together whiskey, to be clear. It has more of what you would expect. It feels like 46%.
Lemon, spicy, floral, chalky. There's a bit of a soapy note for me as well.
Yeah, there is a slight near the end.
It's probably like the lavender from the nose.
Yeah, you know, like those soapy sweets. I can't think of what the name is. Parma violet. Yeah, exactly. You know, like something like Daffmill. You know, that kind of like Parma violet-y weird like aftertaste. I'd get a little bit of that.
I would happily have a dram at a bar.
Yeah, same. I'd have a dram at a bar. Of the four, probably the Coles is my favourite. And then maybe...
I'm so surprised you said
that. And then probably the Aberfoyles after that. And then the Deville.
Deville, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucking torn.
I should say about Deville. Deville, spelt like Demille, is a Gaelic word for the word 2000. And that's when they first started producing whiskey at the millennium, basically.
Okay.
So that's why they've called it. And it is Scotch Gaelic, but I think, it's that thing.
We drink a lot of Loch Lomond, which when you're going to talk about, remember, soft, sweet, soft smoke, honey sweetness and fruit. Some of them, like, for example, the Distillery Edition 4 recently was basically sweet and floral. And so when you're going to go for that profile, there is a lot of whiskies out there that are really knocking it out of the park. I'm talking like next level stuff. So you bring a whiskey to the table and you go for that profile. I don't care where it's from, England, Wales, Scotland, New Zealand, Mexico. That profile has been mastered by some, right? Mm. And so it's a very competitive field in the same way that sherry whiskey is a very competitive field. You do what Coles have done and you get like battered chip shop sausage, greasy paper.
Bat shit mental.
Like absolutely. And I'm going, I've never tried this. This is bonkers, right? Yeah. So, and the same with kind of the Aberfoyles Rye. It feels unique. There's nothing to compare that one with, I don't think either, really.
No.
Whereas the first one, the Anglesey, could just be many whiskies. I mean, it's just an easy drinking 40%. It's just a better one than some of the other ones.
It's a writer's tears.
Yeah.
It is 100%. It's probably why I like it, to be honest. Yeah.
So I think they're four good drams. Super interesting.
Coles takes it for the craziness.
Yeah, Coles takes it, man. 40, even though it's 42%. Mad.
Yeah.
It's a good start from them, Deville, I think. Like, it's solid whiskey, but if you tell me it's 90 quid, which you did, then I'm thinking, I can already think of a lot of whiskies between 40 yeah. and sort of 60 pounds.
I mean, you could pick up two bottles of Coles. Single pass yeah. for that price, you probably could as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we're sort of nitpicking, it's very interesting. I think they're all very yeah. interesting. And I think if you want to, if you have
no bad drams, let's make that
no
clear.
Bad drams, all good drams. If you haven't tried much Welsh whiskey, then, you know, Tavile, Coles, the Rye from Aberfools and Anglesey, I would go for Coles, the Tavile or the Aberfools Rye. Yeah.
100%.
Let's not forget.
In the Welsh Wind. A new one.
I was
going
to say, so shall we?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah. And don't miss any of the, even if it's for a short bit. Yeah. I think this is nice to get a summary of kind of like Welsh distilleries with people.
We
one of the reasons we wanted you to come on is to share that information about Welsh whiskey, to give people to catch up on it, because I think English whiskey gets talked about a lot, Irish whiskey does, Scottish whiskey
yeah, it does.
All
the
time. And
probably because of just the sheer scale of it is, you know, we're less than 10 distilleries. We're only now 6 that are producing liquid that you can buy. So, yeah, it's obvious reasons. Yeah. But, so In the Welsh Wind is the newest of the Welsh distilleries. It's not far from Tavile. It's about half an hour. Right on the coast, which I think people will really notice in their next bottling, because it comes from their own grain from the distillery. West Coast.
West Coast or East Coast? There is no East Coast, right? That's why I was able to joke.
No, there is no East Coast. Of course there is. It cuts
out.
Where
I was going to say,
from, bro? New York.
Do you count that?
Yeah, I suppose.
Bristol Channel. Come on.
Okay, all right, a tiny one. Okay, yeah.
I'm repping East Coast, baby, all day long.
East Coast.
I'm throwing up gang signs on the video.
I think that's what people are after when they're looking for something like a Welsh whiskey, you know, like that kind of coastal. They're thinking about the scenery.
100%.
You want coastal farm.
100%. And I think for where in the Welsh Wind are, they kind of tick all the boxes. They're right on Cardigan Bay. Beautiful location. The distillery is unique. It's an old pub and a modern pub, I would say, like a 1980s pub. So it's very, kind of looks like a bougie coffee shop or something more than a distillery. It's very different. But what they're doing, so they are, this release you can buy if you missed it. Their first release came out last week. I've tried it. It's good. But it is not a true reflection of what they can do. That was the first two casks they did with, you know, a standard malted barley that they bought in from somewhere else. So Chris Malt, I think it was, which if you've kind of done a lot of distillery stuff, you know, they hold the biggest share of kind of whiskey distillery malted barley. And it's good. It's good. It's 3 year old. You know, it's a good 3 year old whiskey. Huh?
Finished in Palo Cortado. Always a plus.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good first release. But where I'm super excited from them is their green grain. So after they did their first kind of messing around and experimenting and seeing what worked for them, they wanted to do grain like from the doorstep. So literally, as you look out from the distillery, there's 4 or 5 fields that back onto it, and that is where the barley is coming from. So it's barley from outside the distillery. It's got this salty kind of nescus next to the coast. And because they can't afford to set up a maltings, because it cost them millions of pounds, obviously, they are doing basically a green grain. So it's a really weird one. Is this a single malt? Because you use the word like malt, and it's not malted barley, technically. But it is from their distillery. It's 100% from their distillery. It's grain from the, you know, there, and it's kind of malted-esque, but it's dried. It's not malted. It's not, you know, heated artificially. It's dried on their floor, and not like you think in Scotland with a perforated floor and, you know, the fire coming out. It's just literally a concrete floor with the heat from the building, drying it out. They keep turning it. They wait for the grain to sprout, and then they distill with it. So it's green. It's green grain. And it is so sweet, the new make. It is like sugar water, basically.
One of the things I love about when I listen to your podcast is you're very honest and just transparent about the sort of the rawness of sort of Welsh whiskey production, really. You know, and you don't sort of try to oversell it. You know, you're like concrete floor, you know. And I think that comes across as sort of it's still kind of
it's integrity, isn't it?
Yeah, but also it's not just the integrity in what you say, but also the fact that you're sort of painting that picture about it's a bit DIY, basically, right? Yeah. You know.
And they should own that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just a bit more like you were saying with the guys at the Coles, right? The way they put together their stainless steel and then copper inside, and you know,
just having a go,
bit bonkers.
Yeah, 100%. And it all is. I would say, you know, if you take anything from this, there is not one Welsh whiskey distillery that is like another.
Sean, 100%. If listeners take anything from this, it's to not argue different. With their neighbours in a hot tub at 11 to 1. And if you do, definitely don't be wearing Speedos.
If you call this episode the Dragon from the Hot Tub, I will boycott ever listening to this.
Oh, we've already named it. It's obviously called
Enter the Welsh Dragon. In a wetsuit.
We both know there's an edit. There's always
featuring
the edit.
Speedo Sean.
Yes.
Speedo Sean. It's gonna stick.
Everyone gets a nickname on this pod.
There we are, Speedo Sean. There's worse things to be called, to be honest. So there we are. But yeah, so everyone's very different. So in the Welsh Wind, the green grain, I think I'm really intrigued at what it's going to taste like, because I've tried some stave aged. So you put a wood stave in the bottle, and they've given me some of that 6 months, I think 8 months old, and it tasted really good, honestly, 100%. So at the Whiskey Festival, their first proper, I would say, release will be that. So their grain from, nice. Next door, distilled in their rye still, which is like a weird, I call it the Tesla of stills or the iPad of stills. So they leave it in the still ferment, and then they effectively boil the whole thing with all the bits in it. They don't sieve it out or anything in the same chamber, basically. So it's super different. It's very different. Yeah. I mean, you Google I still, they used a lot around the world, in parts of like Belgium and Holland and that, right, for other alcohols. They're an expensive still, and they're all controlled by a tablet. There's no like kind of traditional valves and big like heat reclamation and all the things that you think of when you've gone to a traditional, especially a Scotch or an Irish maybe distillery. It's literally like that. That's it. It's just like, it's a still, but it's everything in that still. So I'm super intrigued. I'm super excited. And I think they'll do amazing things in the future. And I'm really looking forward to the autumn to try what it's really about.
Well, so I think today, Sean, you've covered obviously Penderyn, Anglesey, Aberfalls, Coles, Deville, in the Welsh Wind. Is there anyone that's been missed?
Yeah, so there's other distilleries in the works, basically, and I wouldn't go into them because they haven't got liquid out at the minute. But there's one in Barmouth, which no one will know about, which is called Merthyn's, and it's Merthyn's is a very small craft distillery and tap room and brewery, and they've got a whiskey out in August, which he didn't tell anyone about. He just has kind of distilled every year for the last 5 years. He's bringing out a 5-year-old statement. I really don't know much about it.
Just sat on it.
Saturnet hasn't told anyone, like super low key, so I'm intrigued to try that.
Yeah.
And then long term, Hensel Castle, which is down near Cardiff, not too far from where Mike used to live,
used to be a home for the clinically insane.
Yeah, so it's an interesting building. You can Google Hensel Castle, interesting history about building and the premise. And they've got whiskey coming out in a few years.
Their tours will be amazing then.
I think so.
Whiskey ghost tours, I'm telling you.
Yeah, whiskey ghost tours. That sounds like the closest thing to sort of if they did made whiskey on Alcatraz. We talked about that before, Mike, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mike rose from his bed. Everyone was still asleep. He had a rumbling tongue. It was grumbling so deep. He went down to the pantry and slid the tin out quietly to reveal the tasty treats hidden there so carefully. And he thought that he had gotten away with it, but he had candles on his chin. He had wax all down his PJs when his mum walked in. He said, I know, Mom, it's unusual, and wax could make me ill, but the candles fill me up much more than your biscuits ever will.
We are running a bit long today, so I would suggest, I think we go into what three whiskies you put behind a bar, and then wrap up. How's that sound? Yeah?
Sounds good.
So, Sean, what three whiskies would you have behind a bar at your local pub if it was rubbish? In fact, is your local pub any good for whiskey or not?
I haven't got a local pub, so it is rubbish, to be honest. I live in the middle of nowhere, really, for terms of...
So let's say then somebody starts a pub that you can walk to, it's within 2 miles, and they are putting three whiskies behind the bar. What would you recommend them to put behind to pique your interest?
So I would go for stuff that's accessible, because I think in any bar you need stuff that's not super expensive and something that's different as well. So I would go for the Anglesey whiskey, because I think you could sell a dram pretty cheaply at 30 quid a bottle. You know, you could sell drams cheaply.
Yeah.
And it'd be a good introduction for people that maybe are aware of Penderyn. I would 100% go for Glasgow Distillery, because I think...
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
You know, I think it's fantastic scotch, and not many people that are maybe not whiskey kind of geeks or whiskey like aficionados or whatever you want to call it, are really aware that they make that whiskey in Glasgow.
Which one would you go for then?
I just think the standard, the original expression.
The original.
Yeah, just like keep it
fruity,
you know,
fruity and sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep it accessible. And I think that's the thing. There's loads of like high end, obscure, unique whiskies that you could put in a bar, but the truth is, you know, are people going to buy it in, you know, in a bar? They're probably not, if they're not going into a whiskey bar. So that. And then I would 100% say the Cheshire, because it's not too far from me. It's about an hour up the coast. English whiskey, not many people drink English whiskey, I would say, as well, even if they're into their whiskey. So, it'd be a good one. And I think they're doing amazing things with quarter casks. I think it's punching above its weight age-wise, and is selling at a really reasonable price for what it is as well.
Quarter cask put a lot of flavour in a short period of time, 100%, for sure. Yeah. So, cool, nice. That's good choices. Anne, right. If you could change one thing about the world of whiskey, what would you change?
I would say transparency in their marketing. I think too many people kind of go for this like... we're by the coast and it's all, you know, matured in nature and we use seawater or we use like from the loch and all this kind of, and it's crap a lot of the time, to be honest. And I think people just need to start owning it and going, no, this is what is unique about us. This is what we do that's unique, and we do this and we do that, rather than just someone in the marketing department.
We dry the malt on concrete.
Exactly. You know, embrace it. You know, we have green grain. We have, you know, from the farm next door. We 100% go in this wood or that wood, and we're not just bourbon or we're not just this or that. So I think transparency, and that's what I aim to do with Welsh whiskey, because it's new, and I try to kind of tell people about it in an honest way that's not shiny and polished and, you know, selling it as a marketing thing. I try to just be like, it's different, it's unique, and it's in its infancy.
I'd really hope that you were going to say the one thing you'd like to change about the world of whiskey would be the fact that in Wales they spell whiskey 4 different ways.
two locally ways,
and then
some with an I, some with a Y.
I mean, whiskey with an I. Whiskey is whiskey without the E, at least. You know, we don't have that like the Irish or the Americans. But in Welsh, it's WHISGI or WISGI, which is a bone of contention. And if you look at a bottle of Aberfoyles and you look at a bottle of Penderyn, there's that you can see the two spellings straight away then in Welsh.
So, yeah.
Every region's got different spelling, haven't they?
Of course. Thanks very much for coming on the pod today. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on and talking listeners through Welsh whiskey. But hopefully they've learned something. I certainly have. And I'll be keeping my eyes on Coles.
Really good to have you on. I have poured the rest of that Coles and my sample is gone. So,
well, enjoy your battered sausage and chips.
Watch this space, because I feel like there's an Honest or Malt aging series to sort of run in the background there. But thanks for coming on. And as usual, follow us in all the normal places at honestormalt.com, at Honest or Malt on Instagram, Twitter, and everything else. Duncan's on Whiskey Tip. I'm on Whiskey Wings. And thank you for listening. We will see you on the next one. Bye.
Lights of the still as I flew through the valleys. Na-na-na. Riding a dragon so red it lit up the sky. Na-na-na. I sat smiling. Na-na-na. It won't be long till this Welsh whiskey fell in my glass. Shmai, my Welsh whiskey. Shmai, my Welsh whiskey. So before you write it off, please take a draw of some Pendere Welsh Wind or Aberfalls. Anglesey, Moncals, organic, or brains, I say. Fucking hell.